Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Remember to visit our website at www.revivalministry.co.za, where you can sign up to receive more of these powerful messages.
1 Chronicles 4 verse 10 is famous for being the Jabez Prayer. Anyone not familiar with the Jabez Prayer? Otherwise, you're all familiar with it. Jabez. And the reason I was just drawn to it again today was just thinking back on the COVID period, and it wasn't COVID, it was, let's just say, it was the beginning of 2010, or 2020, sorry, and the 10 years that we're currently in. And I felt like God wanted to remind us of the journey we're on, and remind us of where we are in the current 10 years that we're in, 2020 to 2030. And I just remember in 2020, this prayer of Jabez just stood out for me. And I shared a series of messages on it and broke it up into three sections. But here's the most important part about Jabez. It says, Jabez was honorable above his brothers, but his mother named him Jabez, which means sorrow maker, because I bore him in pain. And one of the things I know God is working on is identity and restoring identity, especially when it comes to the identity we were named in. And I'm excited. We're going to be doing a discipleship course next year where we really start focusing on identity and focus on the power of our names and who God called us to be. How many of you know God spoke to Jeremiah and said, before I formed you, I called you by name? And how many of you know you can take that same promise for yourself? And it was so interesting. Earlier this year, we ministered in Kimberley, and I've shared this with the church, but God said something. Just as I was standing, looking out over the congregation there, I felt God say, ask who has never walked in the power of their name, and who, like Jabez, believes that their mom gave them the wrong name, or hasn't felt the honor in their name. And yet, what Jabez does right here is he says, God, I know I was named, born in sorrow, born in pain. He had a difficult childbirth, but I'm not going to embrace that as my calling. I'm going to redeem my name. So God, will you, he cried out to God, he said, will you bless me? Will you enlarge me? Will you enlarge my territory? And will you protect me from evil? And it says, God granted him his request. So, one of the promises I felt God give us for this 10 years that we're in, firstly, was how we get through the first year. So I just want to go back a little bit to January 2020. January 2020, before I'd ever heard of COVID, way back before any kind of idea of a pandemic, God said, 2020 will define you. The way you get through it is going to set you up for the next 10 years, for the period of 2020 to 2030. And then he said this, I'm going to give you the power to break down and then to build and to plant. This is January 2020. Pandemic comes along and we realize God is breaking things down. And I'm excited. I was probably the most excited person. I'm like, God, I know it's hard to break things down. I know it's difficult to surrender. I know it's tough. But God, you said we're going to break down, and you said we're going to build and plant. So although I'm not enjoying the breaking down, I am very excited about the building and the planting. Very excited about what is to come. And I know that going into that year with that posture has brought us to this place today. And we continue to ask, God, how can we surrender that which you don't want us to have? And how can we continue to build and plant with that which you have given us? Jabez is saying, I'm going to surrender born in pain. I'm going to surrender born in pain. And I'm going to walk in. Will you bless me? Will you enlarge my territory? And will you protect me from evil? I'm going to build and plant in that. See, we always have to go back to God. Say, God, I'm surrendering that part, but I'm going to walk in your promise. So one of the promises that he gave us was that through our surrendering, through our walking, through our building and planting, we as a church, and not just this church, but God is stirring up the church. He's saying, the church is going to set the example when it comes to excellence. The church is going to set the example when it comes to excellence. Man, you guys are so excited about setting the example when it comes to excellence. Any believers in the room? See, excellence is born in honor. Can I say that again? Excellence is born in honor. When you realize that God has called you by name, you realize how much God loves you and you give honor to Him. And something gets birthed in you when you start to realign your life according to God's promises for your life. God said to us, He's going to release the overcomer to establish new heights and new boundaries. He's going to release the overcomer. Anyone in the room ran hurdles at school? Okay, fell over. See, to achieve, to have success in hurdles, you have to overcome. You got to get over. There's no joy in stopping before the hurdle or crashing into them. You've got to get over. Job was honorable above his brothers. Jabez, thank you. Thank you. Let me just rewind, start again. Jabez was honorable above his brothers. He was an overcomer. Not that his brothers, he probably had awesome brothers. Do you hear that? See, sometimes we read it and go, Jabez was honorable above his brothers, and we think, brothers bad, Jabez good. What if brothers really awesome? And Jabez above. Are you with me? Okay, sometimes we read the scripture, good, bad, good, bad. No, what if Jabez had really awesome brothers who were full of God's presence, who were passionate and full of life, and Jabez overcame to stand even above that? Because it doesn't take much to overcome that which is not great. But what if God wants to set you up to a really high standard? To a really, really high standard. And He's doing that through surrendering that which He doesn't want for you. So, here's the promise God was saying, and I'm just repeating it. God is going to release the overcomer to establish new heights and new boundaries. And what are we overcoming? What are we overcoming as a church? What is one of the primary things the church was called to set up and overcome? I believe that we're in the greatest battle for identity the world has ever seen. And the church has been called to overcome in the battle for identity. The battle for God's identity to stand up in people. And we get to carry that identity. I just wrote this down preparing for the message. I wrote, your crown determines your border. And I want to link that to the prophetic word this morning. God is creating a fortress. I just want you to see the link. God is building a fortress. And He's placing crowns on our heads. He's placing His crown on our heads. And I want you to imagine that as that crown is placed on your head, a certain border is established. He will enlarge your borders first by placing a crown on your head. And God's border, God's boundaries are the following. Favor with God, favor with man. Are you seeing it? Favor with God, favor with man. When God places His crown on your head, He sets a standard of excellence in love in our lives. And I want to say today, don't seek the crown of other people's appreciation and public approval. That's the crown we're surrendering. That's the fortress we're changing out. I'm putting down the crown of other people's appreciation. I'm putting down the crown of public approval, and I'm putting on the crown of God's favor. You see, the crown of other people's appreciation and public approval is a small crown with very small boundaries. This side of the church has got it. You guys can go home. That's the whole family pig. My mom saying it's those Christmas cracker crowns. Those paper things that don't fit on some of our heads. But God's giving us a large crown. See, a small crown has got man's boundaries, man's ideas. Who shared on that this morning? Man's ideas, man's boundaries. A small crown is also actually still looking for approval with God and man. There's a big difference between favor with God and man and approval with God and man. Come with a small crown, you're still saying, God, do you approve? God approved before you were born, right? So now He's got a crown of favor. Favor. Favor is birthed in love. Approval is birthed in the spirit of comparison. That's why I was just saying, we're not going to compare Jabez's brothers to him. He wasn't good, them bad. That's the spirit of comparison. The spirit of comparison is opposite of love. And yes, the one area I just felt we're going to overcome today. Anyone want to overcome something today? Okay. Miller, Shailene, Gideon, the rest, you guys. Are we going to overcome something today? Something we can overcome is the spirit of comparison. It's not a spirit. Okay. It's a positioning. It's a bent. It's a predisposed nature. And the prevailing lie is you are not good enough. That's the prevailing lie in the spirit of comparison. You are not good enough. Think of the areas you tell yourself you're not good enough in. When you start to think about it and you bent yourself, predisposed nature, what starts to come up in your heart is a spirit of comparison. There's a difference between not good enough or not experienced or qualified enough. There's a big difference. See how David, when he came and he was going to fight Goliath, he said, I have killed the lion. I have killed the bear. But before he killed the lion and the bear, he knew he was good enough. But experience then taught him how to slay the giant on behalf of a nation. Experience, when he got to the field, now he was good enough and he was experienced. We mustn't be confused. Some of us are sitting in this room. We're good enough. We don't have the experience, but we misinterpret that as not good enough. Remember, God has approved of you and His favor rests on you. He's crowning you in His favor. So if you're not qualified, get qualified. If you don't have the experience, get the experience. But don't shelve the dream in, I'm not good enough. I am a pretty adaptable person. But most of the anxiety I've experienced has come from an unhealthy desire to be approved by people around me. If I think back on my life, the times where I was most anxious, it was the moments where I had anxiety over approval. And I know the Holy Spirit came and helped me overcome in that area. There's specific moments in my life where I go, God, I'm choosing your favor over the approval of man. I'm not even looking for your approval, God, because I know you approve, but now I receive your favor over above the approval of man. You've got to recognize and end the desire for approval, the spirit of comparison. When I walk in God's favor, I find myself equally favored by man. Can I say that again? I found that when I walk in God's favor, I experience that I'm also favored by man. Because God promises you will have favor with God and with man. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, choose men who are respected both in the church and outside of it. Something takes place when the church stands up in its identity, when it is crowned in God's favor. When I'm looking for approval, I'm always looking for personal reward. That's my past self, right? But sometimes, when I prepped the sermon, I initially said there are some people who look for approval. But I realized there are times where we all look for approval in different areas. And this is what God's calling us to, is to recognize those moments that we do look for approval. And you can identify that by the fact that you start looking for a personal reward. Now, there's nothing wrong in desiring a reward. Paul writes and he says, I don't run a race to, I run a race to get the reward, right? Okay? Unless you're like us, you know, some crazy people in the room who run 15s and 21s, and we just run to finish it, you know. And we're not winning. You know, I ran a race last week, and Brendan's like, Daddy, gewen. No, my son. I came 100th, but that was pretty good. Okay, so there's a reward that I get by finishing and improving on my time. Yes, there's personal reward. But what I'm talking about is in a community context. Sometimes when we're looking for approval, we find ourselves eating the fruit on the table instead of putting fruit on the table. We find ourselves feeling de-energized in interactions because we haven't put something on the table. I just felt to share that. If you go home and you go, oh, I'm just de-energized. Well, ask the Holy Spirit to work on your heart. Ask the Holy Spirit to work on you in that moment. 2-3 weeks ago, I came home from a meeting and I was just like, I feel so de-energized. Feel so flat. Anyone felt flat? Just feel flat. Sit in the bed with my wife. I feel flat. Feel so de-energized. Well, what did you want to get out of it? What did you want to get out of the meeting? Good question, Daniel. Wow, I didn't bring something to put on the table. I didn't carry God's favor. Maybe I did. Maybe I did an awesome job and everyone else thought, wow, that's awesome. But my motive going in was, I hope I get something out of this. Instead of, I am favored by God. And because I'm favored by God, I'm blessed. And because I'm blessed, I've got something to put on the table. And when I leave the room, the community is energized instead of de-energized. So we get to analyze our meetings and our interactions with other people, and we get to say, did that energize me? Jesus' disciples came to him and said, you haven't eaten. He said, I've eaten that which you don't understand. I've come fully favored by God, and I've put something on the table, and I feel energized. It's those moments that we walk in favor. You can recognize them because you know you were looking for ways to build into your community. You were looking for ways to build into your family. You are looking for ways to put fruit on the table. Is that good? I want to encourage you to prepare in your heart to always bring fruit to the table. Whether you're coming to church, whether you're going to watch the rugby at 3 this afternoon, whether you going to a family braai, whatever it is, always be looking to put fruit on the table. Take 20 minutes before the time and analyze your motives. Analyze your heart. And it's so important. It sounds crazy, like I'm going to analyze my motives before I go braai. But you know what you can do? You can say, Holy Spirit, what do you want for this meeting? Holy Spirit, what do you want to achieve as we get together as a family? Holy Spirit, what do you want to carry through me? Doesn't have to be serious. It can be something fun, something awesome. Maybe God's just got something that He wants to give you that you go in and you just feel peace and you feel like you're just going to carry peace into the situation. And you arrive, and there are a couple of those guys at the bar, you know, those guys we talk about. And you walk in and you bring peace. And you've put something on the table. God's promise to us is that when we overcome, we will establish new heights, new boundaries. That we will set the standard and the example when it comes to excellence, which is honor. So he wants to reorder our desires and our devotions. He wants to reorder that which we so desire and that which we're so devoted to. Colossians 2, verse 6. You can turn there. Or scroll there or click there. Says, as you have therefore received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk in union with and conform to Him. Have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in Him, fixed and founded in Him, being continually built up in Him, becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding and overflowing with thanksgiving. And verse 10 of Colossians 2 says, and you are in Him made full and have come to fullness of life. In Christ, you too are filled with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you reach full spiritual stature. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that amazing? I'm going to leave it there. Let's stand. I want you to, just as we make this declaration, as we pray, pretend that you're putting a crown on your head. So you can just take both hands. There we go. Yeah, just some of you have still got some small crowns. Make them bigger. Father, I just declare, Lord, that you will teach us this week to overcome and not walk with a spirit of comparison. Father, thank you that your favor rests upon us. And the fact that we carry your favor in your presence means we can overcome whatever we encounter. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can step with boldness in your favor, walking in your favor, no longer tempted to seek the approval of man, nor even approval from you, because you said you approved of us before we were born. And you've called us by name. And I want each person in the room to see and visualize their name engraved on the crown. And below that graving, it says, empowered by Jesus Christ and the fullness of His presence. Picture that picture. Picture yourself walking crowned by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you guys.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Remember to visit our website at www.revivalministry.co.za, where you can sign up to receive more of these powerful messages.